Good morning. We're delighted to have you with us. We have guests. We're honored that you've come to be with us. We want to extend to you an invitation to come back anytime you have the opportunity and to worship with us. It's just wonderful to have you with us. If you'll be finding in your Bible Matthew chapter 24, we're going to start there in a few minutes. I want to remind you, though, for all of us, whether you're a member here or a guest among us, we're having a meal together immediately following the services this morning. There'll be plenty. We hope you, even though you may have not thought, I didn't plan to stay, we hope you'll decide, I'm just going to stay. I'm going to get to know those folks a little better. Give us a chance to know you. We'd just love to have you stay and enjoy the meal with us. This coming Wednesday evening, there will be a representative from Southern Christian Home here and during our Bible study time here in the auditorium. He'll be reporting to us about the work that's going on at Southern Christian Home, and you'll want to be here for that report. You need to be here for that report. After it's over, Brother Wayne Bartley, who is the superintendent of the home, Southern Christian Home, he just has some world famous deep Dutch oven peach cobbler that he makes. And he's going to bless us with peach cobbler and ice cream after that report Wednesday evening. So you're going to want to be here to enjoy that report and then stay and enjoy just a few minutes together as we have some of that great peach cobbler. I heard one time about two men who were together. And one of the men said to the other, "Do you know what the two biggest problems that face mankind is today?" And the other man said, "I don't know, and I don't care." And the man said, "You got it." Think about it. The biggest problems that we face is ignorance and indifference. Ignorance and indifference. Now, there are some things that I guess it's okay to be ignorant about and even indifferent regarding. But you know, there is one thing that we need to not be indifferent, and we certainly don't want to be ignorant about, and that is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would be out of order. I'd even be blasphemous if I told you that I know when the Lord is coming, because I don't know, and you don't know, and no one else knows, only the Father. Now, isn't that what the Bible says? So I got no right telling you, no business telling you, neither does anyone else, hey, the day of the Lord is coming now. But you know what we can know? We can know what the world is going to be like. We can know what's going to be going on when the Lord returns. We know that because that's what the Bible says. You found it, Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to begin reading for you in verse number 34. We're going to read down through verse number 39. Listen, from the lips of our Lord, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man." No one knows it. No man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But, now look at the contrast. No one knows this, but you can know some things about the second coming of our Lord. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the coming of the Son of shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, that was before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." Now listen to this. "And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." This eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, that's indifference. They just go about life. They're indifferent to the second coming of the Lord. That's the way they were in Noah's day. That's the way they'll be when it comes to the second coming of the Lord. Just indifferent. In verse number 39, and they knew not until the flood came. That's the ignorance. The two great problems that man faces, that a lot of times we don't even realize we're challenged with, is ignorance and indifference toward things that we certainly don't need to be ignorant about, and that we certainly do not need to be indifferent about. And one of those is the second coming of our Lord. Notice, as in the days of Noah, verse number 37, verse number 39, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. As in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The way things were in the days of Noah, that's the way things will be when the Son of Man returns. Now, what I've done is I'm just going to go through the scripture, and I'm just going to show you some of the things that the Bible says were going on in the days of Noah. Do you know there are 66 books in the Bible? I know that you know that, but do you know how many of those books Noah is mentioned? This will be Bible trivia. You'll be tested on this someday. You won't know this. 11 of the 66 books of the Bible mention Noah. 11 of them. So there's a whole lot to cover. In fact, Clay will tell you as he was sitting back there, I came back there and I said, I'm going to take this point out. This sermon's going to be too long. I'm going to take this one out. Hey, I did some others before I even got to the building. So I've been shortening this thing for you. I've been shortening this thing all week long. I've been shortening it, and even this morning I shortened it for you. So when your belly starts grumbling and you start getting hungry and you say, boy, he sure is going long, remember, I tried to shorten it, okay? But what I've done is I've just gone through the Bible with you, and I'm just going to show you some of the things that the Bible says the world of Noah was like. And then you just have to make your own determination about, could the Son of Man, could the Lord return now? If it's going to be that way, if it's going to be that way when he returns, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Is it possible that he could return in our day and age? Could it be? That's all I want to do. So we got to look back into some places. And I mean, if you're going to get the bulk of the information, you're going to get it from Genesis chapters 4, 5, and 6. Even over into through chapters chapter number 8, but we're just going to focus our attention on some of these things, and so I'm going to ask you to flip your Bibles back and forth so that you can do those things. And here we go. In the days of Noah, it was a time of secular philosophy. Secular philosophy. Look in Genesis chapter 5 with me, or excuse me, Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5 with me, beginning. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Get that. God saw that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made the man, that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It grieved him at his heart. Notice that word imagination. You know, the word imagination in our culture, in our language, in our society, it carries with it one idea. I even told my grandchildren over the weekend, I said, you need to use your imagination. You do. And we know what we mean by that. But this word that's translated imagination came out of a Hebrew word here in Genesis chapter 6. It was originally in Hebrew. And it came out of a Hebrew word which could be translated, the verb form of the word could be translated to frame or to fashion as a potter. You see, what they were trying to do is they were trying to frame or push the world, their culture, their society, their world into a mold. The way a potter fashions something. They were trying to fashion their world. They were trying to fashion their culture. They were trying to fashion their society. They were trying to put it in a frame. And they wanted to determine what was in that picture. It was a time of secular philosophy. All Adam understood the necessity of a blood sacrifice. Remember, God had sacrificed an animal to clothe Adam with. Adam understood the necessity of a blood sacrifice to cover sin. But that was being forgotten. That was being forgotten. That's old timey. That's old fashioned. That's just not for us today. We don't need any sacrifice for our sins. We don't see it as sin, they were saying. Abel understood the truth about worship. But that's all that's totally disregarded in Noah's day. That was being totally disregarded. Enoch was a prophet. I pointed that out to you before, haven't I? If you look in Jude, just one chapter, verses 14 through 17, if you look there, it says, and Enoch the prophet talked about God, the Lord, coming with thousands of his angels. He was prophesying about the day of the flood. All of that, though, was just old-fashioned, fuddy-duddy stuff to them. They were trying to reform, refashion, and anything that was like that, they wished it to be forgotten. They did. Hey, notice what Genesis 6 says. It says the thoughts of their imagination were good. What? The thoughts of their imagination were continually evil. So they weren't trying to frame their culture, frame their society, frame their world into something that was better, that was good. They were trying to frame their world and frame their culture and frame their society into something that was evil. Is anyone trying to frame our world today? Is anyone trying to frame our world into something that, you know, when I was a boy, when I was growing up, that would have been unheard of. It would have been unheard of. But now, oh, you're not supposed to talk about that. You're not supposed to, that's old hat. That's old fashioned. That's fuddy-duddy. Our world has given us all kinds of advice and tried to push us into its mold. He's given us all kinds of advice. You know, if you'll just let up on these sexual hang-ups that you have, well, you know, that'd take care of a lot of the problems that are associated with, all the kind of sexual things that go on in our world today. If you just won't be so uptight about things, and so we became less uptight about it. And there are more teenage pregnancies outside of marriage than ever before. There is more of just cohabitate, just live together, and more of that going on than ever before. Oh, they did us a favor, didn't they, by reframing our culture and you know better. And even in the Lord's church. Even in the Lord's church, many times there are those who are trying to get us to rethink our positions, rethink our stands, when we don't have any stand except what the Bible has to say. Amen, church? But these were days of secular philosophy. These were days, number two, these were days of scientific progress. Scientific progress. Progress. I know. The world would like us to think that back in those ancient days, men were just learning to, you know, make pointed sticks. They were just learning that, hey, you can rub two sticks together and make fire. Hey, you know, you can come outside those caves. You don't have to live in there. You can come outside those caves. You might be able to even throw up a few branches and make yourself a little hut. And they were living just kind of, do you know that that in the days of Noah, that there were men of intellect and there were men of ability and there were men of accomplishment that are referred to as renowned men in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 1. They're renowned. They in many ways, they accomplished things in their age that you and I can't figure out how they did it. We're still finding some of those ancient things, those things that those men did. And we look at them and say, you know, as they're unearthed and uncovered, and we look at them and we say, how did they do that? We can't do that. In our age, we can't do that. For instance, in Genesis chapter 4, verse number 17, it says Cain built a city. Now, folks, this wasn't a village. This wasn't a hamlet. This wasn't some little, you know, just little gathering of people. This was a city. It was a city that had all things bustling going on. He built a city. In verse 22, it talks about Tubal-Cain, who was taking all kinds of metal. They were into metallurgy. They were taking all kinds of metal, and they were using metal. They were into this stuff. They knew how to do it. They were doing these kind of things. Hey, folks, if you've ever thought those people were backwards, they didn't have anything going for them, they were ignorant, we could teach them some things. Let me point out to you that there was an ark built. An ark which was engineered, manufactured, and constructed that withstood the greatest storm that this world has ever experienced. Amen? Now, I'm telling you, what boat do we have? What ship do we have? I mean, when they hear of typhoons coming or a hurricane's coming, what do they do with those big ships? They move them, don't they? They move them. And yet this ark was not intended to be moved. This ark was intended to sail right on through. Sail right on through. It was a time of scientific progress. Do I have to point out to you that I've been blessed to live in an age of scientific progress? From no phone to cell phone, that's David Riley. From no phone to cell phone. That's the way I've lived. That's the way I've grown up. From no phone to cell phone. From absolutely no space travel to now, just last week, I read that a spacecraft has now left our galaxy and has flown out into space farther than any spacecraft ever before in history. Wow. We're living in an age where someone was telling me just yesterday, said, someone asked me, did we get a new car? Did you get a new car? And I pointed out to them, well, it's new to me, but the car has 84,000 miles on it. But it's like a new car. Now, you guys are as old as I am. Can you remember a time when if a car got 50,000 miles on it, the thing was worn out? You started thinking about trading that thing off, didn't you? But now, a car can have 300. Can a car have 300,000 miles on it, Bev? And it's still going. I still wouldn't be afraid to take that thing to anywhere I want to go in it. It may not look like much. But man, you got all kinds of things. You got engines that have been improved. Gone from the carburetor to fuel injection and the oil that keeps that thing. You know, used to, you change your, I remember. It was, Dad taught me. At about 9 or 10 years of age, Dad taught me to change the oil in the car, and that became my job. Every 1,000 miles, you changed that oil. Then it got to 2,000 because the oil got better. Then it got to 3,000 because the oil got better. Now, there is a car that the oil doesn't have to be changed for every 7,500 miles. 7,500 miles. Are we living in an age of scientific progress. Well, folks, we've even reached the point where it's hard to surprise us anymore, isn't it? It's hard to surprise us. When someone says, hey, when they make some announcement, this is coming on the scene. There's going to be an announcement about this. Okay, all right, okay. It's just hard to surprise us anymore. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It was a time of scientific progress. Number three, these were days, in the days of Noah. You're going to have to push that button because my memory don't work as good. I took some out, remember? These were days of social plague. Social plague. You got your Bibles? Look in Genesis chapter 6 with me again. I want to read to you from verses 11 through 13. The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh was corrupted, had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Look at that. There was violence. The earth was filled with violence. With violence. Hey, if you get back over into Genesis chapter 4, and I'm going to read to you verses 23 and 24. Listen to this. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. Lamech was a man of vengeance. Somebody hurt him, what did he do to them? I have slain a man to my wounding. He wounded me, I killed him. A young man hurt me, I killed him. I've killed two, he said. I've slain, he says. Verse number 24, if Cain was avenged sevenfold, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech, me, I'll be avenged 77-fold. It was a time of violence. Are we living in a world of violence? What do you think? Are we living in a world of violence? I mean, some of you have lived through some major wars, some major conflicts. And you say, well, you know, we're not having the major conflicts right now, but there are minor conflicts going on all over this world. There are places you couldn't travel, wouldn't want to travel, because the conflicts that are going on in this world. And that's not to even talk about the violence that goes on, that just, it's just unnecessary. You know, I didn't know her well, but she's Hispanic. And she used to attend our services years ago at the Hispanic congregation that we began out in Conway. I didn't know her well. She only came a time or two. But you know what? She was taken off of the Target parking lot in Conway and killed. For what? For what? Well, you say, well, they wanted her car. Then why did they kill her? Well, they wanted her money. Then why did they kill her? It's all uncalled for. It's unnecessary, isn't it? It's just unnecessary. And there's violence everywhere. There's violence everywhere. I mean, do you ever wonder, now why did they do that? Why did they do that? I mean, if you had told me when I was growing up that the day will come when they'll put metal detectors on the doors, on the entrances to our schools, I would have told you were out of your mind. That's just ridiculous, isn't it? That's just ridiculous. But you know what? We're past the point of metal detectors. Now it's armed resource officers. And now we wonder, is armed resource officers enough? Maybe we need to arm the teachers. Why? Because we're living in a world of violence. I have to tell you that. We are living in a world of violence. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It was a day of social plague. Plagues like multiplicity of marriages. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 19. It was introduced by this man, this same man that we read about by the name of Lamech. He's the one who introduced it. Verse 19, and Lamech took him two wives. One wasn't enough, so he took him two. We're told by almost every commentator who commentates on Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39, that when Jesus talks about this marriage, they were marrying and giving in marriage, that he's not talking about the one man, one woman thing that God planned. That he's talking about multiplicity of marriages, and he's talking about just marrying anyone you want to. Don't put much thought into it about whether, hey, is this going to lead me closer to God or is this going to lead me farther from God? Just marry whoever you want to and marry as many as you want to. Multiplicity of marriages. Look in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth and the daughters of men were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Of all which they chose. Now that doesn't sound anything like our world today at all, does it? Well, we don't think about anything about marrying four or five, just however many we want. And whoever we want. Don't think about whether it's going to bring you closer to God, whether it's going to help your family get to heaven, whether this is going to help your children, the offspring of this marriage, get to heaven. I'm just not going to worry about that. I don't know and I don't care. What's the two biggest problems that men face? Ignorance and indifference. And we approach it. I don't know. I don't know whether it will or not. And I don't care. I don't care. What was it like in the days of Noah? It was days of social plague. What was it like in the days of Noah? It was days of selfish prosperity. Now, if you're keeping up with me, if you want to look over in Luke chapter 17, this is Luke's account of what Jesus had to say. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to begin in verse number 26 of Luke chapter 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 17. And I'm going to begin now in verse number 26. Listen now. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. But he doesn't stop there. Jesus says, likewise, in the same way. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. So like it was in the days of Noah, that's the way it was in the days of Lot. That Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But in the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained down fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. As it was in the days of Noah, it was in the days of it, in Lot, that's the way it'll be when the Son of Man will be revealed. Now, what was it like in the days of Noah? Well, you could go a million directions with that. I'm just going to take you on one of them, okay? If you would turn with me in your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 49 and 50 for an idea of what it was like in the days of Lot. And whatever it was like in the days of Lot, that's what it was like in the days of Noah. That's what Jesus said now, and that's the way it's going to be when the Son of Man comes. So read with me. Verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Fullness of bread. Abundance of idleness was in her hand and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Now look at it. What was it like in the days of Lot? and in the days of Noah. What was it like? They were proud. Sin that they used to wouldn't even mention. Sin that they used to blush at. Now they flaunt. Pride. Pride. Fullness of bread. They had everything they needed. Everything they needed. Fullness of bread. And abundance of idleness. Abundance of, they had a lot of free time on their hands. It was a short work week in Sodom. Remember what our parents used to tell us? Idle hands are the what? You know, right? Your kids probably don't, because we don't say those kind of things anymore. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. What? They had an abundance of idleness. They had a short work week. They had lots of spare time. They didn't know what to do with all their spare time. So what do? They came up with stuff, right? They come up with things to do with their spare time. An abundance of idleness was in their hands. But I want to really focus in on these next two, on this next one. Neither did they strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. They were haughty. They committed abomination. But neither did they strengthen the hands of the needy. Is that because they didn't have enough? No, they had abundance of bread. They had more than they could use. They had all they needed. But when they saw a poor man, when they saw a needy man, they could make up every excuse for not helping that poor and needy man. Well, he made his own bed. Let him lie in it. Haughty. 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 Never did they stop to think, but by the grace of God, that could be me. That could be me. Neither did they strengthen the hands of the poor and of the needy. They were selfish in their prosperity. Now I want to ask you folks, has God blessed us? Listen, I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you the truth. Just the truth. The poorest one in this nation, I don't care who they are, the poorest one in this great nation is richer than many others in other parts of this world. God has blessed us. He has blessed us with more than we can do with. More than we can handle. And we're using it to help the poor and needy, aren't we? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Hey, I got to hurry. You take it the rest of the way. These were days of solemn preaching. You know, God has never brought judgment without giving warning first. He has never brought judgment of any kind upon anyone without giving warning first. He warned these people, Genesis chapter 6, 13. I'm going to destroy the flesh from off the face of the earth. I'm going to. There was warning. There was warning. Noah, it took him 120 years approximately to build this ship. What was he doing during that 120 years? Well, he's building the ship. What else was he doing? Ask Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Peter says he was a preacher of righteousness. He was telling people, the Lord's going to send a flood. The Lord's going to send a flood. The Lord's going to send a flood. There was solemn warning. There was solemn preaching. Enoch, as I told you, verses 14 and 15, Enoch was a prophet. Even his name means, after his passing, so then it will come. Then it will come. Even his name meant that. And Enoch was warning them and warning them and warning them. God was giving them warning. You know, I ask you again, how about the day and age in which we're living? You know, there has never been a time when there has been more opportunities and more preaching being done and more warnings being given. Think about it, folks. What other generation had the opportunity through an electronic means called the website to send the gospel around the world in a second? We've got it. And it's being done. It's being shared all over the world. I didn't say it was being received by the majority. I never said that. I said they're being warned. They are being warned. The days of Noah were days of solemn preaching. The Son of Man's coming. The Son of Man's coming. You just heard it. You were just warned. The Son of Man is coming. He's coming. Lastly, we'll finish up with this one. They were days of sudden panic. I mean, we see that in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39. We see that. They were eating, drinking, giving in marriage until the flood came, and they knew not. We can just get a grasp of that panic. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 17, it says, now listen real close to me. Make sure I got this right. And Noah shut the door, and Noah shut them in. Who shut them in? God shut them in, right? God shut them in. Listen, folks, when God shut them in, what did he do for everyone else? When God shut them in, he shut them out, didn't he? He shut them out. Can you imagine with me what it would have been like? As the earth begins to erupt with water, and water begins to fall out of the heavens, water begins to fall. The springs of the earth break forth. They break forth. I want you to imagine me. Just spend a little time with me. Use your imagination for good. Don't use it for evil. Use your imagination for good. Imagine with me that there's a little boy living back there, and a little boy comes to his daddy, and the little boy says, "Daddy, could I talk to you?" "Sure, son. Anytime. What do you want to talk about, Daddy?" You know that guy that's building that big boat over there? "Yeah, Crazy Noah." "Yeah, I know him. Yeah, Crazy Noah. Well, Daddy, I was over there, and he stopped, and he talked to me, and he said that God's going to bring judgment on us, and that he's going to destroy this world with a flood. And Daddy, I just think that maybe we ought to go and see if we couldn't get permission to get on that boat. What do you think, Daddy?" Daddy said, excuse me, son, I'm not laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you. Believe me, I'm not laughing at you. Son, I'm laughing because when I was a boy just about your age, old Crazy Noah was building that ark way back then. He was working on that ark. And son, he stopped and he talked to me just like he talked to you. And you know, I came and I asked my daddy exactly the same thing. And my daddy said, "Don't pay any attention to Noah. His elevator don't go all the way to the top. He's a religious fanatic. Don't pay any attention to him." And you know what he told me? He said, "You know, my granddaddy said that Noah was working on that boat even before I was born. He'd been working on that boat all these years." Listen, it's not. Don't let that bother you, son. Don't let that bother you. And then God shut the door. And the earth began to vomit its waters. Heavens began to pour out its floods. As the flood waters got up about knee deep, they moved to higher ground. This daddy's concerned about his boy. "I gotta save my son. I gotta save me too, but I gotta save my son." This daddy moves to higher ground, but soon even that's not high enough. And so they move to a higher mountain. And finally they're on the highest mountain that there is. There's not any other place to go. Surely this water will stop rising soon. But did that water stop rising? No. But I got to save my son. I got to at least save my son. I may not save myself, but I got to save my son. And so he takes his son in his arms and he begins to struggle to swim against the tide. But he swims out to that ark. And along with many, many others, they beat on that door. "Noah, Noah, Noah, please open up." But Noah hadn't shut the door, had he? Who'd shut the door? God had shut the door. never to be open to them again. It was a day, these were days of great panic. Now listen, folks, the Lord could come today. He could come today. And some are still thinking, but if I followed the Lord, if I gave my life to Him, look at what I'd have to give up. Think with me about Noah. Think about it. When Noah went into that ark, think about what he had to give up. I mean, his father, Lamech, had sons and daughters. You can read about it. He had other sons and daughters. Did Noah have family out there? Brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews. Did he have family out there? Sure he did. Do you know his grandfather's name was Methuselah? Did Methuselah die in the year of the flood? Yeah. Did he die in the flood? I don't know, but he died in the year of the flood. That's his grandfather. That's his grandfather. It's a possibility. Did Noah have a house? I'm sure he did. People lived even in cities back then, right? Noah have a house? Did Noah have possessions? Think of all that Noah had to give up. All that Noah had to give up. When Noah went into that ark, he left everything. But when Noah came out of that ark, he inherited the earth. He had everything. Now, which is worth more? Everything or some things? Come on, which is worth more? Everything or some things? Everything. If you need help in math, I'll help you with that. Everything is worth more than some things. And when Noah went into that ark, he left some things. But when he came out of that ark, he had everything. Everything. Think with me about Noah. Well, if I accepted the Lord, if I became a follower of Jesus Christ, whew, there's a lot of my friends that, they don't think like that. Whew, there's a lot. I mean, there are more of them that don't think that way than do. I'd be in the minority. Think with me. When Noah went into the ark, he went in the minority. When Noah came out of that ark, he came out the majority, didn't he? He came out the majority. And listen, the Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. Jesus said so. He's coming back. He's coming back. When's he coming back? I don't know. It could be today, couldn't it? It could be today. But he's coming back. And when he comes back, you're going to want to be in the ark. There is an ark of safety today. His name is Jesus. He's your ark of safety. His name is Jesus. And you're going to want to be in Christ. You're going to want to be in Him. You are. Of course, you're going to have to believe in Him in order to be in Him. You're going to have to believe in Him. Listen to this verse, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. For we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ, you're going to want to be in Christ, aren't you? You're going to want to be in that ark. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. The Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. What's it going to be like? It's going to be like the days of Noah. I'm going to have to let you decide. Is our world right? Is our world like that? Could our Lord return today? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And when He does, you're going to want to be in that ark of safety. So we want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you're here, you're not a Christian, you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, we want to give you the opportunity, based on your faith in Him as the Son of God, to come and to be baptized into Christ. We'll help you with that. If you're here, you're a child of God. You've wandered from the ark of safety. You've wandered away from your Lord. We want you to come home. He wants you to come home. We'll help you with that. We'll help you any way that we possibly can. You just need to let us know if we can. Would you come as together we stand and sing?